This is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley.
And I'm Emily Curitan. Most women have a story about being harassed, groped, stalked, or raped. Few of us talk about it. These are things we like to put out of our minds for understandable reasons. But right now, we want to hear from you. Please tell us how sexual assault affects you and your family. Let's start a conversation and define the tone of that conversation with empathy and open-heartedness. If you've ever reported a sexual assault, tell us about the response you got. If you've got a story, we want to hear it now on The Exchange. This is a space for civil conversation at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. And if you've never experienced sexual assault or its aftermath firsthand, please stick with us and just listen. Hear what people have to say. Vanessa in Ashland is one. She wrote, "Where to begin? Do I tell you about when I was 8 and a family friend began a years-long series of attacks that never ended in rape but taught me that parts of my body that he found attractive equaled my worth as a human being? Or when I was 12 and a friend's dad grabbed my bottom as I was getting into the truck? Or the man who followed me when I was 13. Hey, you want to make some money," he said. "Or my brother-in-law groping me in the dark. Years of counseling and activism have helped me find my voice. This is my story, but it's not my shame. It was never my shame." That comes from Vanessa in Ashland. Callie in Ashland, young woman, says, "I've never been raped, but I have been groped with impunity on multiple occasions. When I told my counselor at UC Davis, I was told that in college, that's what happens when you go out. The bars in downtown Ashland, especially those that offer dancing, are a stomping ground for gropers. This really needs to stop." So those are just a couple of the responses we got this week, Jeff. I have actually over 20 here from an online survey we put up asking people if they had ever been sexually assaulted. 95% who filled out the survey said yes. Then we left a blank for people to explain how it has affected them or their family. We want to hear these kinds of stories from you this hour on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760. Or jx@jeffnet.org.
And to be plain about 95%, that means that one person in 20 who took the survey reported not being sexually assaulted.
That's correct. And certainly, I think people who click the link and take the survey probably did that because they had a story to tell, the way that we sort of solicited participation on social media. A thing that came up in the last interview was online bullying. I certainly saw an interesting side of that in promoting this on social media, where the public comments and some of these Facebook groups were quite aggressive, quite bullying, versus the responses we were getting from people once they clicked the survey link, where just like when you call in this show, we only ask for a first name and a location, seemed to be quite genuine and heartfelt versus memes and snark and a lot of words that I would not repeat on the radio or even in my life coming through on Facebook. So it was a challenging survey to get out there, but the responses we got were certainly worth it. We hope you will add your story to the mix here on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org to join us here on Vents Day with your story of sexual assault or maybe how it's affected someone close to you and how you've supported them.
So give us a call, 800-838-3760 to talk about sexual assault or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Back in a minute.
Back on the Jefferson Exchange, I'm Emily Curitan, and it is Vents Day. This week, we're building on our first segment, an interview with sexual assault survivors and advocates. Now we want to hear your story about sexual assault. That's groping, stalking, rape, a lot of examples and different common things that happen to women in particular, but not just to women. This is a conversation for you to join now at 800-838-3760 or email us jx@jeffnet.org. Of course, the context here is just living life in the Western world, but the presidential race in particular has sparked a national conversation on the topic. The writer Kelly Oxford tweeted about her own sexual assault with the hashtag #NotOkay just a couple of weeks ago, or a week and a half ago. And in the immediate wake of that tweet, millions of women paraphrased their stories of sexual assault in just a day or even a few hours. So that's millions coming in with the hashtag not okay. We put a survey up with that title and got back over 20 responses from women in our area. Sophia in Eugene is one of those. She wrote, "I was embarrassed and ashamed because I thought it was my fault for being drunk and I didn't open up to anyone about it until someone I consider like my younger sister told me how she was sexually assaulted, and I told her about my experience so she wouldn't feel alone. That comes from Sophia in Eugene. Mimi in Gasky, California writes, I'm 66 years old. I was assaulted as a child several times and as a young woman too, physically and verbally. Women didn't speak out in the past. We kept it to ourselves for many reasons. It was just, quote, easier. Well, today, we hope you will speak out and share your story here on the Jefferson Exchange. We're on a first names basis with folks across the listening area. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org.
Should point out, too, these things do happen to men. In fact, I can relate my own story of having a fellow with a newspaper on a train reach under my newspaper one time with his hand in my lap. So, yes, it does happen. So this is not a story just for women only. And, men, if you have stories to tell as well, here's your chance to share your own experience. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And particularly where men are concerned, I remember all the surprise. Was it a year or two ago when that video came out where a woman had a camera on her on the street as she just walked down the sidewalk, and all the responses of men who saw a good-looking woman go by, hey, baby, what is, you know, all the stuff like that men think are harmless, and yet it happens to women all the time. And I'm reminded of that when I look at Kara in Eugene, her quote from the survey saying, every minute of every day, I have to worry about my surroundings and who's around because I'm a woman.
Yeah, that feeling of anxiety, you can certainly give into it. I think that video you're referencing where a woman, it speaks to our culture that I want to describe what she was wearing because it really shouldn't matter, but she was just wearing jeans and kind of a plain top. But she's in a major American city and walking down the street and just records the catcalls that she gets. And that feeling, that kind of barrage of unwanted attention, it can leave you prickly. I would say that from my own experience. I think in the process of fielding our survey this week, I was surprised some of these stories that we got. I have experienced things like that. My friends have. And it was encouraging in kind of a dark way to realize just how common they are and yet how little we talk about them. We did get a call from a woman in Klamath Falls. Let's hear her story.
My name is Cherie Swenson, and I live in Klamath Falls, Oregon. An experience that I had when I was about 20 years old, I was helping a friend move, and I was driving in my K5 Blazer, which is kind of a bigger vehicle, and as I was heading, there was a vehicle next to me that wouldn't let me speed up or slow down and get around him on the other side, and I didn't pay attention. Because I had been used to being kind of oogled while I was driving or getting people wanting my attention. I looked over finally, and the man was touching himself, and he looked absolutely thrilled and was very pleased that he had caught me off guard and was showing himself to me. And at that time, I had a six-pack of beer in the back of my car, and I reached around without thinking about it, grabbed a bottle of beer, and threw it at his vehicle, and I hit his car. And for the longest time, I reflected on that as how many people he had done that to and how he had made people feel trapped while driving and also, forever making that experience of transportation in your car kind of a predatory one. But also, what I could have done, what would have happened if that bottle of beer had gone through the window and hit him in the head and caused an accident, what would have happened? I was so angry, but I still experience, things on a frequent basis where I feel like I am an object. It's not a good feeling. I wonder how many other people have spoken up or stood their ground and had, an effect that was positive, is my question. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Thanks to Cherise in Klamath Falls for sharing that story. So that was another one of, they'll love how she put it, but I can certainly relate. She's talking about the everyday experience of driving in your car, becoming a predatory one, sort of like your story, Jeff, of just being on a train reading a newspaper and there's a stranger's hand on your lap. I laugh because it's uncomfortable more than because it's funny. But these stories are really common. They're out there. And we want to hear yours on the exchange today, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org.
Judith and Ashland told us through the survey, I was not raped, though at least two family members that I know of and many friends have been. Mine was the kind of assault that's supposed to be the low-grade stuff we deal with as a matter of course. A guy exposing and stroking himself in front of me and my younger sister when I was 12. A guy grinding himself up against me in a packed subway until I could break away. A friend of a friend whose hand drops down to stroke my butt when he hugs hello. What strikes me, surprises me, is how much those incidents haunt me, especially the earliest ones. The sense that my body was something guys could use whenever they wanted, whether or not I wanted them to. That is certainly not the trauma of rape, in quotes, no big deal and no real harm done, I hear people say about stuff like this. But it's a sense of violation, nonetheless, a horrible realization that almost all women I know have had to carry around from a very young age, however much many of us push it down to keep on going. And until very recently, I never said a word. That from Judith and Ashland.
Yeah, the never talking about it part is certainly a theme. And when you do, you're often minimized. It's not a big deal. Get over it. Could be worse. So thank you for speaking up today, Judith and Ashlyn. We appreciate that. Let's go to a call. We've got Jeannie and Eugene on the line.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to The Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. I was attacked when I was 16 years old. Going home, and I think it could have been avoided if I had had a little bit more conversations with adults on what to defend and defend myself from and avoid. And I remember some of my thought patterns as I was walking down my country road at 9:30 at night. When a man was following me in the car, I thought to myself, oh, man, you know, I was secretly flattered that I could be so attractive to someone. But he was a monster, and he pulled over. He beckoned me to come to the car, and I became sort of infantile, I guess, at that time, and didn't think survival, I thought obedience, and I stepped forward, and he jumped out and had a lot of hatred and anger inside of him as well, the attempt was very, very violent and frightening, but luckily a neighbor turned on their light when they heard the screaming, and he fled the scene, and I managed to get home. Actually stopped at a neighbor's house. The neighbor called the police, and the police didn't come. I was, of course, shaken, very shaken and bruised, but not badly hurt. The police didn't come. After an hour, you know, we called again, and the police came somewhat reluctantly, and this was in a small town in New York, but a lot like outside of Eugene, rural area where I live, and when they found out, and I mean nothing more by this than the simple fact that I was white and he was black, all of a sudden the police department leapt into action in a way that, you know, was like on TV. It was all of a sudden it mattered, and what really scared me was that we had a couple of black families in my high school who, you know, just obviously very normal citizens, but they were pulled out of their houses in the middle of the night. I mean, with, you know, kids pulled out of the houses to determine if someone in those families had done this to me.
Oh, really? So that was those families. Wow, wow.
Yeah, and it was horrifying to me because, I knew that they had nothing to do with it. I knew that, and when I told the police, they said, "How do you know?" It's like, come on, these are my, you know, this is our community. Later on, about a month later, and I knew that they would never catch the guy. He had New Jersey plates, which is, you know, pretty far away. They took an hour to even take my story. So I knew that he was gone and that they wouldn't be able to catch him. And so about a month later, they called me and said, oh, they stopped by the house. A policeman stopped by the house and said, we got your man. We want you to come down. We've got a lineup. So you've seen those lineups on TV, right, in all the TV shows?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't like that. They bring me down to a pond near the house where there's some black men fishing. And he lines them all up, and he says, which one of you guys, you know, attacked this girl? And tell us which guy did it. And honestly, it was not a nice group of men, but I couldn't tell anything. You know, I couldn't just look at, and certainly face-to-face, you know, without, and I told the police, I don't know. And so, of course, nothing came of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the police were really, really bad about how this was handled. It wasn't really about a girl being attacked. It was about a racial perception.
Right, so
where they were coming from. But I also wanted to mention, as a teenager, I had lots of experiences like the ones that we're hearing about, the groping and the
mm-hmm.
and pretty much and getting in positions where I am ashamed about the outcome of the position. And I read a social commentator that you may have heard of, Jeff, but I think she predates most of the callers. And she's a gadfly. She's out there. But I kind of love her anyway. Her, Camille Paglia.
Oh, yeah.
And she's a very, very strong feminist in some ways. But she's a tough lady. And she said, you know, girls, something like, you know, I don't want to misquote her, but something like, girls, if you can't handle it, put on a burqa or something like that.
All right. I'll look for that quote.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
So wait, I know what it sounds like.
It sounds bad, Jeannie.
It does sound bad, but listen, the lovely guests that you have today, who I've been listening to, I am so proud of, and they, to me, represent what it's going to take for a change in our society. And although we can go to the authorities with, you know, best hopes, you know, too, that it's not an easy position for the authorities to be in when cases are so sometimes unclear.
Jeannie, quick question. How long ago was the story that you shared about being in New York and a man attacking you and then the police sort of going on a racially motivated hunt?
That was about 40 years ago.
40 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for dredging it up for us today. I'm sure it wasn't easy, and I appreciate you contributing to the conversation. I'm Emily Curitan. This is Vents Day. You can share your story here, 800-838-3760 or JX at jeffnet.org. We just got transported to New York 40 years ago, a fairly a rattling story there from Jeannie in Eugene. Ray in Talent says, I am a teacher and I hear about sexual assault from students all the time. It's an epidemic. I've learned how many men are survivors too. One of my students was sexually assaulted in Talent and was poo-pooed by the officer she reported to, who told her she shouldn't have been drinking and that he couldn't prosecute because of it. Victim blaming is a serious problem around here. As for me, it affects me because I'm scared to access public spaces at night because I'm a woman. I hate limiting my right to access public spaces for walking and running outdoors at night because of rapists. That comes from Ray in Talent.
CJ in Reading took our survey. She writes, I was in the military and it was another soldier who assaulted me. Reporting it was worse than the assault. Christy in Talent says, I was sexually assaulted first by my stepfather from the ages of 3 to 11. His boss also fondled me when I was in the fifth grade. When I was 15, a stranger attempted to rape me in southeast Portland, but fortunately the police were called and the man ran away. While traveling in India, I was raped while sick at a low-budget lodge. I've seen countless men masturbating in public. I've been humped, fondled, catcalled, and mistreated by some horrible men my whole life. The impact? Monumental. But I am still standing and will firmly state girls and women are not ruined in quotes by this crap, just dented, shamed, and damaged. That from our survey.
Evening Rose in Talent wrote to us. She says, telling someone about being sexually abused or assaulted can be hard for so many reasons, but from what I have experienced, the hardest part has been people's reactions. I had a boyfriend who looked horrified. He told me it was going to be okay and then told me I never needed to bring it up again. Another boyfriend cried and wanted to know what he could do to help, quote, fix me. My mother asked me if I was sure I was remembering everything correctly and then proceeded to tell me she was abused as a kid and we were all probably stronger because of it. Probably the very worst response was telling someone and having them just change the subject without addressing what I had just shared. That comes from Evening Rose in Talent.
Here's another call on our Vent Stay line from Cheryl in Klamath Falls. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
It's Carol.
Oh, sorry, Carol.
That's okay. I'm 73. When I was 30, I was in college in Reading, and this person I knew from class came to my house. The door was open and the screen was locked, and he wanted in, and he was going to break through the screen if I didn't let him in. My kids were almost out of class. I let him in. He raped me, acted like he liked it, kind of thanked me, and left.
Carol, did you report it?
No. Mm-hmm. I had a class with him in college, and I told the teacher, because I didn't want this person anywhere near me, and he made sure he never was. I'd been with my boyfriend just before this guy came to the house, and we had had sex, and I didn't want to call the police, go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. To me, it was a compromising position. I told a few friends when I got older, right about the same time I was getting a divorce and annulment from my husband, and the welfare department, social services, said until he was arrested for molesting my children, he had to live in this house that we were buying together. He wanted sex, for oral sex, from me one day, and he was pretty forceful. So I did, and then I bit it hard, and I've never regretted that. And yes, he went to prison for molesting my children.
No, oh, Carol, thank you for participating in the conversation. None of the stories that that people have shared are necessarily or should be easy to listen to, but I hope you found yourself in a better place today and after that. Mary in Arcata shared her story. She did report an assault. She says, the female police officer asked me why I went into my neighbor's house as if I was supposed to have ESP, that he was going to attack me out of the blue after knowing him for about 7 years. It made me feel like I had somehow caused the sexual assault to happen, and I almost didn't take it any further. That coming out of Arcata.
Vajra in Sunny Valley writes in and says, it is almost always males perpetrating sexual assault. It's crucial that we do not erase the fact that the problem is male violence based on lack of respect of women. But even deeper than this lack of respect is fear of women's innate power. The word misogyny means hatred and fear of women. Men who assault girls and women are afraid of those girls and women. I salute the women who gather the courage to speak out. Those, again, the words of Vajra in Sunny Valley. Thanks for your contact.
Let's revisit Evening Rose in Talent. She sent quite a few comments in on our survey. Evening Rose wrote, the system needs to be revised and communities need to become more educated on the realities of sexual assault and how to talk about it. This isn't just a legal problem, it's a social problem. We need to address and change social behaviors that continue to normalize sexual assault talk and behavior. So how to change the culture is a question that is certainly on the table here today on the Jefferson Exchange for Vents Day. We're hearing people's stories. We hear you out there. We heard you on the survey and certainly appreciate that these are not easy things to talk about and that in many ways all the forces around you will discourage you from talking about it. Susan in Ashland wrote into the survey. She's an advocate for survivors of sexual assault. She relates her own experience. When it happened, I was in college, and it had a terrible impact on my ability to focus, socialize, and have a normal college experience my last 2 years. I disclosed immediately to police. The experience was not bad during reporting, but the perpetrator was not indicted. And in this case, there was no doubt what had happened to me. I had extensive physical injuries, which are pretty rare in a sexual assault. But the grand jury apparently believed I was trying to, quote, pin it on someone I knew and was covering up for a stranger assault. My perpetrator later raped a teenager, and I was asked to participate in that case to help establish an MO. So another interesting story of somebody's experience kind of becoming warped once they enter the justice system.
Well, we've run out of time for this week's Vents Day. And if you notice, we're not having Vents Day every week now. We want to go a bit deeper and a bit broader and be able to talk about one topic in a great deal of depth. And we have done that this week. We got a lot of responses, some of which we didn't get to. And I really want to thank Bella Head from Ashland High School for dropping by to tell us her story.
And Angela Fleischer from SOU, mm-hmm. Big thanks to them for getting this segment on its way, as well as all the people who took our survey. It's a difficult topic to talk about and broach. Sometimes we bumble our handling of it. As we heard, people's responses can be less than delicate, but we appreciate your trust and your participation here on Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Emily Curitan.
I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening to the Jefferson Exchange. More coming up in Hour 2.